Well, good morning. I've been talking to you. I've been talking to you, and you haven't been listening, partially because I had the mute button on. You had no way of knowing that. Isn't that the way communication goes sometimes? It is Tuesday, March 19th, 8:11 a.m., 2024, on this fine day. I hadn't said much yet, which, even if you tuned in at the last part of the show, probably would be true as well. I have a little kitty down here at my feet. I had a little kitty down here at my feet. She was wanting some attention. She's getting a little needy this morning, apparently. I have, which is unusual for her. She's the shy one, so she doesn't do that too often. I have a few things to talk about this morning, but it's going to be one of those short shows, just because I have a myriad of things to do today. I'm actually working today, but I also have a voiceover thing I got to do today. A pretty good client of mine. A little later on this morning, and so I got to get to that. They haven't given me any details. I hate it when that happens. It's one of those things where they got to sight read a project. So in this world of voiceover, typically they give you the script at least the day before, sometimes the day of. And sometimes they do these call-in directed sessions. This has become a real popular thing now. Everybody does a call-in directed session. So you record while they're listening to you over the phone. And they just throw a script at you. And then sometimes they change things in the script. That's another thing they'll do. They'll send you a script, and then they'll change several lines. So you kind of read over it, and because you develop these motor skills. When you read something, if you don't realize this, some people are very good at sight reading, very good at it. I am not. I can't just sit there and read, which is frustrating for me because I'd probably miss a lot of gigs doing that. But I almost have to have the script ahead of time because I need to read through it because my mouth needs time to kind of develop the role. Because I hear it 10 different ways in my head. When I'm reading something, I hear it many different ways. So having read through it once at least or twice, you know, one or two times, I tend to get this a little better feel for it before I hit it. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult for me to do that just in a sight read because I'll think about a different way for it to be. And then I stop and I stumble or whatever happens. That's always kind of frustrating. So hopefully this won't take too long. They said, you know, 40 minutes or so, and I'm figuring probably 2 hours because they don't take into consideration that I'm a bumbling idiot when it comes to sight reading. So I have, among other things, but, oh my goodness. So we have, in my cup this morning, we have. Well, it's a bloodbath. It's a chai with cinnamon creamer. My backup cup is the most interesting one this morning, which it usually is. You just never know what that one's going to be. I have a combination. It's a combo cup this morning. The old CC, we call it here in the business. It's a blend of Chick-fil-A sweet tea and my own homemade sweet tea. So they're fighting over each other as to who's going to be number one. And it's on a micro level. I can't tell what's going on. I just put it in my mouth. It's still good stuff. It's just good. That's just really good. So we'll see what happens with all that this morning as things go on. I have a couple of things to talk about. One of the main things, there's a channel called Liberal. Yeah, it's called Liberal. America can be summed up in one word. So what are we talking about? We have Turn a National to the Pressure. All right, it's enough with that stuff. We have, where was I going with all this? Liberal Hive Mind has been on fire. He was on fire yesterday with his, and not literally, just for those of you on the left, he wasn't literally on fire. Don't call the fire department because he's not burning down. He's just, of course, the liberals are the ones, I think, that come up with this term, fire. That's fire. Because it used to just be hot. Well, that's hot. Now it's fire. It's not on fire. It's not It's just fire. Those shoes are fire. That's just dumb. It just gets getting dumber and dumber. We can't add any words to it. It's just one word. I don't know. It's where the culture is going, folks. It's getting out of hand. So I have this. I'm sure all the old grumpy old men have always said that. Well, here I am. I'm here to do it for you. I'm filling in my generational responsibilities. I'm getting texts. Why am I getting texts? Oh, I see. I see what's going on. It's the typical. Yeah. All right. We have a couple things to talk about. He was talking about yesterday. He was going over the left and the way they're just hysteria just goes out off the charts. And the Trump derangement syndrome, if you thought it was bad the first time around, it's even going to be worse this time. The problem is, well, I think with their Trump derangement syndrome is that there's fewer of them now, and they're more panicked because of that. They feel more obligated to jump in people's faces and scream and yell and tell you how terrible Donald Trump is. Donald Trump has never jumped in my face and screamed at me. These people have. I think that people are starting to kind of wake up to the fact that, hey, things weren't that bad under Trump. And yet they're telling us now that things were horrible, terrible. Oh, they'll go on this long laundry list. And the other day, Joy Reid, MSNBC, she has the audacity to come on with Trump's hair, by the way, and tell us that the entire pandemic and the response to the pandemic left millions of people dead and it was all his fault. That's what we get to hear now. That and the sound of my cat scratching on the side of the booth here. I'm not sure exactly. I need to take a peek here. I guess it was the little shy cat. I thought that was the other cat there for a minute, but I guess it wasn't. She's never been that aggressive, really. Maybe she's turning on me now. They're going on, and then of course now the one joke that's apparently out there. All the leftists, all the people, you can tell who the insiders are and who communicates with each other, because all of a sudden the same little phrases, the same little jokes start to pop up. The other day, Eric Holder was on being interviewed, and he said something about, you have one candidate. You know, he's telling you that this choice is going to be a binary choice between two candidates, and one candidate who is aging and inept and has, you know, he goes on this long laundry list of things that you think he's describing Joe Biden. He said, and then on the other side, you have Joe Biden, who's had a record of success and all these done all these things and all these accomplishments. Of course, everybody thought that was funny. I think he was talking to, it might have even been Bill Maher. No, it wasn't Bill Maher. That was a different interview I'm thinking of. Bill Maher had an interview with him, with somebody who was actually laying out the fact that Trump is making great strides, great gains into the minority communities and the female population. And Bill Maher's head's popping off. Why is this happening? Why? How can you explain this to happening? What's going on? Well, Bill, they live in the real world. They don't live in your little fairy tale land where you think everything is fine. It blows my mind sometimes when I see people talk like this that don't have any clue what they don't have their finger on the heartbeat of what's going on in America at all. They have no idea what kind of a struggle people are having right now. I talk to kids who are just out of high school or in college age or just getting ready to graduate. Like I talk to them occasionally, not as much as I used to. All of them are shrugging their shoulders. I wouldn't say they're terrified or they're not scared necessarily. They're not terrified, but they're very uncertain about the future. They don't see any way possible they're ever going to be able to buy a house. Now, some of the ones I talk to are making very good money. And there's absolutely they're going to be millionaires. They'll be able to buy a house. Now, unfortunately, they're going to go into debt for way more house than they need. It's this typical, the typical American way. Well, look, we can afford this. No, you can't afford it. The bank can afford it. And they can afford to put you in slavery for the next 10 to 15 to 20 years, 25, 30 years. That's what that is. Well, otherwise I wouldn't be able to afford a house. Well, then you can't afford a house. If we just had that mindset in this country, you'd be surprised at the difference that would make. We'd take the power back from the banks. Banks have tremendous power right now. But in any case, I digress. So we have, and if you have a loan in your house, it's not a big, I mean, it's okay. If you're making the payments, everything's going fine. It's great. I see some people, young people, and again, this comes back to this whole thing of, I can't remember who said it, who I heard say it last. I think it was Sowell or, I can't remember who said this. No, I can't remember who it was. I'll remember in the middle of some other conversation we're having. So rich people, or poor people are poor because they act rich. Rich people are rich because they act poor. It's not necessarily that pronounced. It's kind of I think he said it so much more eloquently. I mean, he chose different words when he said it, and it made more sense. But I see this all the time. I see people driving around in really nice new cars, young kids that I know they didn't pay cash for that car. I know they didn't. I know they've got a loan on that car. Probably a 6-year loan. 6 years. And that car is not even going to be worth half what they've paid. When you consider the interest and everything else they're paying out with that car, was it really worth it? A $500 payment or whatever they got, $300, $500, whatever it's going to be. Okay, $300, just say it's a $300 payment. We're talking about almost $4,000 being paid out just in the car payment alone every year. $4,000. Now you could buy a $4,000 used car. It would get you through a couple of years. And I bet you the insurance would be less. And you wouldn't have to get premium full coverage insurance because guess what? The bank makes you do that when you take out a loan. Sometimes they'll provide you with the insurance. Oh, that's great. It makes your premium go up. And it's ridiculously priced insurance. So you do that, and then, you don't save anything for the next car because you can't because you're making all those payments. Because you're renting your furniture, you're renting your house, you're renting your whatever you're doing, car, renting everything, living on credit. Kitty keeps coming to visit. I think she wants to jump up in my lap. She just doesn't know how. She's shy. And so they keep doing everything on credit. And they wonder why at the end of that 6 years, their car is worth nothing and they want to get a new car because they don't like that new car feel. So they go into debt again for another new car. Or here's what actually happens. During that 6 years, there's usually a downturn in the economy. They usually lose their job. They usually change jobs. They usually have a problem. They usually have some kind of unexpected life thing happen. All of a sudden, they can't make their car payment. I don't know what the percentage is, but I bet it's pretty high of people who have their cars repossessed. I just know that repo men, I see them all the time now. A lot of guys are doing it like they're like Uber drivers now in big cities. They saw a guy with a heavy duty pickup truck the other day that had a tow thing on the back of it. I'm like, that guy's a repo guy. I guarantee you. He's repoing and he's probably making bank. That guy probably got his truck paid off because he's probably got a loan on the truck. That's probably the irony of the whole thing. He's probably got a loan on his truck. Probably paid $80,000 for it or $90,000 for the truck. But it's a money, at least it's a money-making truck. At least he's doing something with the truck. I can kind of see if it's a business investment. Okay. But even then, at my age, no, it's not going to happen. No more loans, not taking any more loans out. Now, some would argue with this, and I'm trying to figure out why I wouldn't do this. Why wouldn't I just go out and take a $1 million loan out at the end of my life? Just give it all away. You know, just purchase all kinds of crazy stuff. Give stuff away, put it all in my will. It's all going to go away. Just, you know, unsecured credit type thing. And then, you know, you die. What are they going to do? They're going to come after your estate. Sure, they're going to come after, you know, they're going to put their liens on stuff. But if you don't have anything, gave it all away. What are you going to do? Whoopsie. But that's where you could work the system. But I just can't morally let myself do that. Really. But it's, I mean, with the banks, I don't know. Just understand what I know about bankers. Now, would I do it to my local savings and credit union? I probably wouldn't. However, credit unions have become kind of the rules have changed so much, especially after 9/11. They really used, and of course, then there was the savings and loan crisis that they had, which was caused by Congress, by the way. Congress caused that whole thing. And before that, a savings and loan looked like a credit union that you joined, had nothing to do with the banks, the banking system. There's very, very little oversight in terms of the way they were regulated by the banking laws. Now they're basically identical to what bankers do. If I go in and I take out a bunch of money from a bank, a bunch of cash, if I take out over a certain amount, they have to fill out paperwork. They have to put out a fund. And of course, there's these SARs, which are suspicious activity reports, which, by the way, Joe Biden has like 68 of those. Joe Biden has 68 of those. I think it's at least 60, maybe it's 168, or maybe it's 600 or something. I don't know. They file these reports because of the stuff it automatically triggers. A sitting congressman, a senator, then a vice president, and now a president. He has suspicious activity reports from banks. But oh, he's completely on the up and up. And then we have this crazy Letitia James. They're setting traps for him all over the place, by the way. They're setting traps for him, and I There's legislative traps. There's things that they're doing with Ukraine that have set traps. There's like money funding for the war that's gone on for 3 years. And if he tries to use any of that as a negotiation tool, when he becomes president, there's going to be this whole issue of, you know, now they're going to go back after him to impeach him again for that whole thing because this and that and whatever else. Because, you know, he made a phone call and he delayed the funding. So it's more and more traps. And then there's these traps on the social side of things in this country where they're giving all this money out, making all these promises, and they're going to say that, you know, they, just like the whole, there was this, was it this insulin thing? Donald Trump actually was the one who was involved in making insulin prices more affordable. He's the one who got the ball rolling on that. Joe Biden signs it because it finally gets through, gets everything done. And he's taking credit for it, of course. Look what I did. Watch what I can do. You know, he came out after the election and said that there was no vaccine before Joe Biden came into office. Well, there was no vaccine before the election because the companies who had it done didn't want to announce that it was done before the election. So they waited until 3 or 4 days after the election to announce that they had the vaccine ready to go. They did that on purpose. It's in documents that have been discovered and been found and been obvious. That's what they did. You hear the mainstream media talking about that? No. You'll hear people like Jimmy Dore talking about it. Robert Malone, who invented mRNA technology, he's kind of a he's hard to listen to. The guy stammers a lot. And some intelligent people do that. He's very, very, very intelligent. But some intelligent people do that because of the reason they do that is because, you notice I don't have any problem with that. I just rattle off my mouth because I'm not intelligent. Some people who are extremely intelligent like that have a problem with it because they're thinking five sentences ahead of where they're at. And they choose their words very carefully. And so in the process of doing that, they actually overthink sometimes, and which causes them to hesitate, which causes them to be a little bit difficult to listen to, actually, because they can't just roll with a conversation because they're very careful. Now, some people can. Some people who are extremely intelligent can do that, and some of them get off on their own. People like Ben Shapiro, in my opinion, I think he argues himself into a corner all the time, and he's able to argue himself out, which is kind of to his detriment, actually, because he's not able to really stop for a moment and think about, am I really in the right frame of mind here? He's such a good debater that he can debate himself out of a logical conclusion. He's right a lot, but he's I'm not saying he's not intelligent. He's just very, very good at what he does. So good that he fools himself sometimes, I think. We have, I'm sure we all do. It's just to a degree, some more than others. I have this crazy thing that's going on, like this joke. Okay, this joke that, circling back, I'm circling back for Miss just for Saki's sake. I have Eric Holder. He's being interviewed. He makes this joke about his opponent, about Donald Trump being old and senile and all this stuff. Joe Biden did exactly the same joke within a day of Eric Holder making that joke. And my understanding is, I did not see the actual article. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Barack Obama actually made a very similar comment to a news reporter. All within 24 hours of each other. These guys have been talking. They've been setting this stuff up. They war game this stuff all the time. So right now, the big issue is the latest little thing that Donald Trump has said that the left's heads are popping off about is this bloodbath thing. He's talking about, of course, now I'm sure it's trending on YouTube. I'm not even going to Google it because I'm sure it's probably been the biggest thing you've seen on Google for a while. Everybody's, what is a bloodbath? Define bloodbath. Well, bloodbath, it is a warrior term. And it's used all the time. In fact, there's of course, somebody came up with a montage of every time that phrase had been used in the last 5 years, 4 years by the media. And it goes on for like 5 minutes. Just clip after clip of the media saying bloodbath this and bloodbath that, and it's going to be a bloodbath. And they're always talking about economic. They're always talking about, just it's hyperbole. It's just a figure of speech. And basically what they said, well, if I'm not elected, he was talking about the border. He was talking about what China's doing with the automotive industry down in Mexico. They're bringing in, they're building car plants down in Mexico. They're not going to hire American workers. They're always about cheap labor. They're planning on selling those cars here in the U.S. Donald Trump said, I'm going to put a 100% tariff on those cars. Those cars are not coming to the U.S. Instead of saying, wow, he's going to protect the automotive industry, the UAW should be right behind this guy 100% right now for saying that. But no, all you heard was, he said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. And what he's talking about is GM, Ford, Chrysler, you're going to get your skins handed to you because they are going to come in with cheap cars. They're going to gut the auto industry. And you just sit back and watch what happens. It will be and when I say gut them, I'm not talking about literally. Those of you who are in that mindset. So this is what we face now is this And that he hasn't even gotten started. I mean, they're just now ramping this stuff up. So Nancy Pelosi goes on an interview. And I'll have clips of this on Friday. Nancy Pelosi goes on an interview. And she talks about this bloodbath thing. He actually said if he doesn't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Well, she didn't say it like that. She says, if it doesn't get elected, you get the idea. That's how she talks. But I'm not going to talk that. I'm not going to talk down to you like that. It's going to be a bloodbath. And he talked about our soldiers over, and she went through this whole litany of, there's a list about five things she went through. Talks about our soldiers over in Europe. He wouldn't go to the memorial for the soldiers because he thinks that they're losers and suckers. People who got captured are suckers. That's not what he said at all. He said there are fine people on both sides. And they're just bringing up the buzzwords on all these different talking points. Let's go through this whole litany of things. None of that. The reason he didn't go to the memorial is because Marine One couldn't make it there. The weather was too bad. They determined that they couldn't make it in. It was too foggy. He was already over there in Europe. He was planning to go. It was on the... If he wasn't going to go, why did he put it on his schedule? He's decided at the last minute not to go? Oh, we're not going to go there because those guys are losers. Oh, you didn't know it was coming up? You didn't have any. No, that wasn't what happened at all. But that's the way they portrayed it. That's the narrative they have to keep on that stuff. When he talked about fine people on both sides, he was talking about the protesters. The original protest there was a protest to keep the statues, and they weren't white supremacists. Just in the breath before that, he had a sentence where he said, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I condemn them totally. But there are fine people on both sides of the argument about the statues. Some people were there who wanted to keep the statues up. Other people wanted to tear the statues down. By the way, the ones who wanted to tear the statues down did not have a permit to protest that day. And the whole reason the issue was coming up was because of Donald Trump. Because, you got a white nationalist. You got a white supremacist. Oh, we got Hitler. He's Hitler. He praises Hitler. That was another thing that Nancy Pelosi said. He praises Hitler. He loves Putin. He loves Putin. He's always talking about Putin, how great of a leader he is. Hey, look, when somebody does something smart, you just say it. You just say, if Putin does something smart, that was a smart move. If your opponent does something good, you acknowledge it. Living in denial does not help you at all. Doesn't do anything for anybody. I don't believe that Adolf Hitler woke up in the morning seething and foaming at the mouth, cussing at the Jews every morning. I don't think that's how he woke up every morning. But that's how they would have you believe that's the way the guy was, that he just had horns on his head and he was just the evil personified. Did he do evil things? He absolutely did. He was absolutely an evil man. He did evil things, yes. I'm sure there were people in his life that he loved. There were probably people who didn't see him as a monster because of the way that he treated them. But they tend to get canonized by one particular thing, which is understandable. But at the same time, there was humanity there. There was a human being there. But there are people who have physically themselves personally done atrocious attacks on people. And the left says, well, they were just depressed. We need to let them go with no bail. Because they weren't wearing a red hat. So we can let them go. They've made it so impossible right now for Donald Trump to even get bail to get to post his bond so that he can even file for an appeal. And now the companies that are willing to offer him the bond want him to put up $1 billion in cash. Are you kidding me? For a half a billion dollar bond. They want to destroy him. And the reason they're destroying him is for a crime, supposedly, that there was no victim of. The people who he did business with want to do business with him again. Of course, they're not allowed to now for 3 years because that's the judge's ruling. These people are, I'm telling you, they are out of their minds. They are sick in the head. These people are sick in the head. That's what they are. It is a sickness. And unfortunately, they are in places of power and influence. And we are all going to suffer with them if they remain in power. Because they are literally making up things in their head that just don't exist. Ronald Reagan said it very well. He said it's not that our liberal friends are ignorant, it's just that there's so many things they believe that aren't so. And they make half of them up in their own head. There's this conspiracy theory now on the left. They come up with the wacky ones, folks. Unfortunately, the ones that most people on the right, most of the conservatives that come up with, they'll make up a story. They'll come up with a story. Like Jim Jordan, for a long time, he was saying what happened with the whole dossier. This is what happened. He goes, he had it all figured out. All the dots connected. This is what happened. He said it over and over and over and over and over until people kind of tuned it out. Come to find out, everything was right. This whole, Hillary was involved in the whole thing. The Hillary campaign, I should say, campaign funding, same thing. Look who's directing that. They continue to go down this road, and yeah. So that's what we have going on, folks. And tomorrow, I don't know that there'll be a show tomorrow. I just was able to get this show in today. Now, Thursday and Friday, there will be a show on Thursday and Friday. I'm pretty sure. The way things are working out. Now, tomorrow morning, I'm not so positive. But it's a good chance there'll be a show. It might be recorded in my car. I don't know how it's going to go. Tomorrow morning, I might be spending some time on the very lower east side of Chicago, probably down in it's near Schererville, actually near Hammond, Indiana. but it might be in that area and possibly have some downtime that I can actually do a show at that time. Those kinds of shows are hard to post. That's the only problem with those kinds of things. So Wednesday, there might be a show tomorrow morning. Might be a show tomorrow morning. We'll see how it goes. Kind of depends on what happens today as well. I could end up in, who knows where I could end up today. I could end up in Sioux City, Iowa. Not that's a bad place. It's just, I'm just saying I could end up there. So we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, I started the music and didn't turn it up. I'm having some technical issues and they're all about me this morning, apparently. I'm the technical issue. So tomorrow, and then Thursday, of course, regular show. Friday, all the sound clips of things we talked about all week will be rehashing and reviewing and looking at the future into the weekend and as well as next week and what's happening. It'll get busy. It's going to get busy. They're going to ramp up the rhetoric. And again, the whole thing about Joe Biden, I don't like to spend a whole lot of time talking about Joe Biden other than just the crazy stuff that's coming out of his mouth, because it is the stuff that the left is. We can get a glimpse, a foreshadowing of the left's strategy. But I don't think that Donald Trump should be running against Joe Biden. I really don't. Unless they got some kind of other weird plan to do something with him after he gets out of office. I have no idea. Because Kamala is not going to be the president. I don't think the left wants it. She could be, but I don't think they want her to be. God bless, folks. Have a great day.